On this Friday afternoon, let's take a look at the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here from Nutrien Ag Solutions in Agrible. Hey, Eric, hope you're having a good Friday.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good one, and the sun is out, so I'm pretty happy right now.
Okay, so I understand from our conversation that there are two systems in the United States we need to talk about as it's related to next week. Can you discuss them for me?
Yeah, sure. So we're watching the first one right now off the west coast of California. So there's a little cutoff low down there. It's going to sneak across the four corner states over the weekend, and then it's finally going to merge central U.S. by the end of the weekend. So what this is going to do is, given its current trajectory and its lack of really cold air, as this comes across Illinois early next week, so I'm talking Monday timeframe, it's going to be bringing some cold rain to us. But the second system is waiting in the wings, and it's right now off of the northwest part of the United States, and it's going to sweep in behind it. And with it, a little bit better connection to some of the cold air that's over parts of Canada and Alaska, and as a result, maybe a better chance for us seeing some snow out of that second system. Now, we're having a hard time pinning that snow down. It's tricky when you have these kind of coupled waves in the atmosphere that kind of work together. Right now, if you ask me, it looks as though northern Missouri, western Illinois, northern Illinois, getting over to Iowa is going to be the target area for some of the heavier snow out of this one. We could, once again, as we've been all year, it seems like we'll be right here on the border of it in Champaign. So two of those are coming through. And after that, maybe things calm down a bit, which would be a nice change of what we've seen as of late.
Hey, before we get too further out, you mentioned the Four Corners and California area. It reminded me that California has been dry. Does that mean that they had gotten some rainfall or not?
Well, unfortunately, this little cutoff low that comes through doesn't do much to really help out with their rainfall. And yes, California is having some major problems. Since the beginning of the year, there are some places that are between 0 and 5% of normal on precipitation. And those Sierra Nevada mountains, well, at their peaks, just so far this winter, we are looking at 100 to 150 inch deficit in snowfall in the Sierra Nevada. Now, the rest of the Intermountain West, though, outside of the Sierra Nevada, so the Rockies, the Cascades, have plenty of snow on them right now. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic to watch for spring as the weather patterns start to, well, jet stream shifts north and starts to look at those mountains and how much snow is on it. It may affect our spring flow pattern quite a bit.
Well, speaking of that, let's move to the southeast. And I'll mention that I saw a robin this past week in my own yard, and there was a bluebird around somebody talked about as well. That seems pretty early here, but spring really has come to the southeast, and in kind of a big way. They're wet and they're blooming both.
You know the way I bird watch, I use radar. I can actually see the flocks of geese way up in the atmosphere showing up on radar. They've been moving back to the north. So we've been watching the migratory patterns change here, but you're right, the south and southeast has been quite warm. They got some cool days coming up here, but it's really been the first cool shot they've had in a while. The problem is the southeast is exceptionally wet. Over the last, I'll call it 15 to 20 days or so, there are places that stretch from parts of Arkansas all the way over to Tennessee, North Carolina, which, by the way, got some snow yesterday. That region there has seen anywhere between 200 and 600% of normal precipitation. So there's major flooding concern, and if the pattern doesn't shift away for them, they're going to continue to have a flood fight into their spring planting time period.
Have you looked further out into the month of March, and what do you see?
Yeah, so this is where things get quite tricky. For the fourth time in a row, the long-range European model has painted almost the exact same picture for the United States. And that picture starts west of the U.S., and the Pacific split flow still seems to show up as a ridge kind of noses its way toward Alaska. Now, what that's going to do for us is that's going to put us in a better position here in Illinois to not see nearly as frequent low pressure systems as we have seen. That does not mean that things shut down. It just means a little less activity, which is a good sign. But unfortunately, the subtropical jet keeps going, and that's going to keep the southeast and the south central United States on the wetter side of things as we look out. The west looks to be cold, partly due, I think, in the models to the fact that there is all that snowpack. But it looks as though by the time we get into mid-month, we could be developing another southeastern ridge, which is what all this weather is going to flow around, which could keep, you know, March once again to be on the active side of things, just maybe not nearly as active as we have seen lately.
Hey, since you mentioned you are able to see the geese on the radar, I don't know whether this is truly the case or not. Would you be able to see, for instance, if there were radar in Africa, the locusts moving there?
That's a great question. But the problem is those locusts don't tend to swarm high enough for the radar to catch them. And then there's not a good radar network in Africa in the first place. But yeah, the locust problem we're dealing with now is really concentrated in parts of Kenya, Somalia, and Ethiopia. And some of the videos and pictures we've seen as of late have been just horrific. Now, there has been some concern, this is coming from the United Nations, that if left unchecked, these populations could not just double or triple in size, but there's been some crazy numbers suggesting they could get 500 times the size they are right now. Of course, all those governments in each of those countries in Africa are trying to rapidly, you know, wipe out this desert locust problem just because of what it's going to do to their vegetation, what it's going to do to their crops. But we need to watch this carefully. Because if it spreads north or jumps over into parts of the Middle East or even back into parts of Pakistan, Iran, or even into India, then we've got something that is much more on a global scale to be dealing with. What I would just recommend for people right now is keep an eye on these news stories. Let's keep watching it together to see if the locust problem becomes bigger than what it currently is.
Oh, interesting. Thank you for bringing that up. One final place before I let you go. We should probably check in on South America. I'm interested in second crop corn there, of course, and harvest of soybeans.
Yeah, so in Mato Grosso, things have actually moved pretty quickly. I've been surprised. They must just know how to harvest even when it's wet. It seems to be the way things have gone. Some locally very heavy rains. The monsoon is looking quite healthy in terms of its strength. Yet still, they're making good on their five-year averages. They're behind a year ago, of course, with both the harvest of the first crop and the planting of the second. But last year was one of the fastest, if not the fastest, on record for getting one crop out and the other in. I see for the next 5 to 7 days, wetter conditions in Mato Grosso and eastern Brazil, dry in Argentina. And some folks are starting to get really concerned about Argentina because despite some of the wet weather they just had, some of our longer range models are really starving Argentina for moisture through the month of March while keeping Brazil quite wet. So I can't tell you now that I see any major area in the whole of South America saying there's a problem and we're going to get a market reaction out of it. But I think we need to keep a close eye on both Brazil's northern and southern growing regions, and of course Argentina throughout the month of March, because if anything slows that monsoon down, we could be talking about problems with what they're anticipating to be, I think, their biggest corn crop on record. So there's a lot to pay attention to south of the equator.
Oh, I bet you'll update us on that a week from Tuesday over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. I was hoping so. Yeah. I'm looking forward to having you over there and help us kick off that event. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, one of my favorites. One of my favorites. I look forward to it every year.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. He'll join us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on the 3rd day of March. You can too. Buy your tickets today online at willag.org. We'll go all day long. Details are there. The cost is $30 and we'll give you a coffee and roll in the morning and a Beef House noon hour lunch. You can't beat it. willag.org or 800-898-1065.